You're listening to Limitless Mind, Limitless Body. This is the Understanding You series, episode 5. I'm John Swanepoel. Joined again today by Paula Ralph and our guest, Ellie Wild. Ellie is an international facilitator of somatic therapy. A published author, Ellie specializes in coaching and teaching somatic sexuality. She has coached and guided hundreds of people to reclaim their bodies, hearts, and souls intimate wisdom, and is a passionate advocate for personal empowerment and freedom. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm back here with Paula, and today we've got Ellie Wild as a guest, so welcome everyone. Today we're going to talk about growth, death and rebirth, so welcome.
Hello.
How are you? So tell us a bit about yourself.
A bit about myself. Yeah. All right, where to start? So I'm originally from the UK. I've been in New Zealand for 20 years now. What do you want to know?
So what did you get into your line of therapy?
So I think I've always been a seeker, but about 20 years ago, I had an incredible experience while making love with my partner, okay. Which it showed me how much sexuality is actually a powerful portal for realization, because I kind of met God through sex, basically. So then I went on a journey to explore tantra. Fast forward kind of lots of different things, and then about 10 years ago I really took the plunge, and instead of just reading books about it, I decided to go on a retreat experience with 30 other people, which is called the Ista training, which is a program that I now teach on.
Ista stand?
The International School of Temple Arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Ista. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And basically this school is the first program, the level one is really the education we should have got when we were 15 around relating sexuality, empowerment, how to live more authentically. It touches a lot on sexual shame and conditioning, but it also touches a lot on all other forms of shame and conditioning that we've had around many
goes back so long, right? So far Victorian, yeah. Before in the church, and the limitations created by that, and the wrongness of your body and the wrongness of sex,
and the wrongness of our life force energy. So even emotions have been shamed, you know. There's certain emotions. We even have the term positive and negative emotions,
right?
And so the way life is expressing through us, we've had a lot of shame around that.
Yeah.
And also, conditioning and survival strategies to try and fit in and be appropriate, and kind of morals placed on us. So for many of us, we've grown up in a very limited and sort of, what do you call it, when something's kind of...
Constrained.
Limited version of ourselves. So this training is an opportunity to let go of some of that.
Okay.
And then the level two journey, which is a bit more like what I want to talk about today, is back before Christianity and religions that were sun-centric, so that it focused on the heavens and what was above us, when we were linked more with the earth and our spirituality. Our sexuality was also included in that, but also there was rites of passage and initiations that we went through that were to do with the birth, growth and death cycles. So we understood fertility, we understood the cyclical nature of things, we understood that we are part of nature and the seasons and
circadian rhythm,
everything is kind of all to do with that. So So there was these rites of passage around birth, death, and growth, and, you know, fertility rites for the land. And
So what significance does the growth and death cycle have in our lives?
Well, I think first of all we need to realize that we are cyclical. We have a cyclical nature. Like we're not the same all the time. We go through cycles, all of us, all the time.
We sure do. And we kind of forget that it's okay to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem acceptable. You have to stay the same from being a 20-year-old to being a 60-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many changes that go on.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And I think there's a preference towards certain states of being, which are usually more associated with birth and growth.
Mm.
Not many of us feel 100% comfortable in the waning, lacking of energy, the death cycle, when you feel like things are sort of like dying down and petering out and then kind of there's nothing there anymore. You know, we all have days, I'm sure, where you just don't want to get out of bed and you feel less confident than usual. And that is a natural part of our cycle. I mean, for women, I feel like it's more amplified because we also have this hormonal cycle that does that. That's tied with the moon. So,
God, it's tied, but it's tied in with the day. Hormonal cycle.
With the circadian rhythm, there's three aspects. There's the cognitive, the emotional, and the physical. And they have the three different length cycles, you know, so that the physical is about 28 days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember the emotional and the cognitive, but I'm going to put it at the base. I'm going to look at that up again, and I will put it underneath the recording. It's 32 days is one of them. And then the last one stretches out even further, 38 days, something like that.
Right.
And it's a natural rhythm. It's related to when you're born. Biorhythms are really important too. And you'll see, actually, when you look into it, it's fascinating.
Mm.
You'll see that the real low periods in your life, your biorhythms generally were really low. And when you picked up and you were really successful and really motivated, they were quite high.
Mm.
And so you can do it for your whole life or for your birthday, or you can do it now at this moment, you know, and in the next few weeks and few days. It's quite interesting.
Mm.
And if you put your date and time of birth, you probably see it, the physical one matches your natural cycle anyway.
Mm.
28 day cycle.
What's that under the title of?
Biorhythms.
Biorhythms.
Or circadian rhythms.
I haven't heard that.
You get apps for your phone.
Mm.
Yeah, you just type, and you can type your families in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to avoid, you know, meetings and that. If in your cognitive phase, you look at your cognitive phase, you want to avoid meetings when you're really low, and make appointments for, you know, from 50% up.
Mm.
So your concentration level.
I think they tie in with hormonal cycles as well.
For
women. I mean, I'm perimenopausal, so in August I'll have 13 moons since I last bled, so I'll be in menopause by then. And yeah, I just think that's another really huge cycle that we go through as women that doesn't really get talked about very much. And it's kind of like...
So what's your strategy for that then? Because as a guy, I'm never going to understand that, other than what I'm told by my partner or what I observe.
Often as a woman, we don't understand it either.
Okay.
Mm. Well, I think it can. Because basically, there's physical symptoms of menopause, isn't there? But there's also emotional and mental, and the physical ones. You know, there's lots of, you know, herbs. Supplements and supports, which I'm sure you know a lot more about than me, Paula. But the emotional and mental side of it, I think with that, like it for me anyway, the way I'm learning to deal with it is to look at it as if it's autumn, you know, and as if it's kind of that part of the birth, growth, death cycle that is trying to let something go. And for a lot of women in menopause, it's an opportunity to really look at your truth I've heard many, many women say to me, it's like I drank this truth serum all of a sudden, and what's not serving me anymore, just can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. And that's what the autumn phase is all about. That's what the premenstrual tension before the period is all about. And basically, menopause is like the premenstrual tension of your life.
I really like that truth serum, because it is like that too, and I haven't heard it put that way. And I see a lot of women who perhaps take the truth serum, but feel they're going nuts because of it, and they need to take the more masculine approach and barge through, suppress anything that's going on with them, because it's not the normal, it's not what they've been doing for the last 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, and force it through, which is that masculine energy, rather than taking the feminine energy of like the flow, like this is different today, and so it is, and how am I going to allow that?
That's an interesting interpretation, because I do have lots of patients that come in that want to get rid of the symptoms.
Yeah, let's just get rid of it so I can be.
I'm having hot flushes and it's terrible and it's really irritating. You know, can what do I do to stop it?
Yeah. Not called the change of life for nothing.
Just ask questions. Ask your subconscious what she wants to do.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee that she's going to stop doing what she's doing.
And you might not like what she wants to do either. Exactly, so right. Are you willing to listen to that?
Yeah.
I think, though, like, it's kind of like our society is so addicted to productivity, to getting things done, to getting having a productive day. Being successful is kind of like, you know, how much you're doing. You know, it's nothing to do with, you know, how you are as inside and how things really feel for you. I mean, to me, a successful life is when I look deep inside myself, am I satisfied? Do I feel fulfilled? Not like, you know, how much have I done today and how many people are telling me how great I am. And
superficial.
It's really superficial.
It's you know, addicted, like you say, addicted to growth.
Addicted to productivity, and like, yeah, when you look into the economy, if something's not producing, like in the, you know, in the business world, it's kind of cut and chucked away. And so I think for a lot of us, especially, well, I think, you know, for women my age and above that are going through this this massive change, you're no longer fertile, and it's like, and you're not being productive. What does that mean in our society? That's like, you just kind of get forgotten, you get moved to one side, and that's just
become invisible.
Only if you allow that, though. You know, if
it's not allowed.
Yeah, you can't. You know, how many times do you see like a 80-year-old, you know, smashing it out on the dance floor?
Yeah.
You know, and you know,
standing up for something that she believes.
Absolutely. And so it's like, this is the aging template. You know, this is how you're supposed to behave at a certain age. You know, and this is how you're supposed to look, and this is how you're supposed to be, and you know, that's why people disappear, I think. The interesting thing before was, you know, addicted to growth. You know, another way of looking at it is what is addiction? It's only one thing. Addiction is only one thing.
What is it, John? You sound like you've got the answer.
It's a belief you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe you don't have a choice, you continue. You always have a choice with addiction. Doesn't necessarily mean the choice is going to be easy. But there's always a choice. You but either do it or you don't.
But that's what's going wrong. I'm going to go global now.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
That's what's going wrong global. With our world at the moment, though. I mean, if you look out into the world and you see what's not working, the way, you know, there's many things, some of the things that aren't working. You know, the way we're farming animals,
consumerism, and
consumerism, the way we're zooming around the planet and not really listening to, you know, it's all about productivity, it's all about growth. You know, the economy is, you know, it's got to be growing, it's got to be expanding all the time, and nothing has a continuous, relentless growth. If you look into nature, like, things always wane and die. You need that for actually new growth to happen.
It's a natural cycle.
And
look at what's happened with this lockdown just recently. You know, how it's changed people's lives and people's perceptions certainly did made me stop for a second. I didn't realize how tired I was until I was forced to stop. You know, and yeah, it took me about 10 days to really get my energy levels back up, and I thought I had good energy levels. Until you stop, it was like, wow, actually I'm really, really tired. And
yeah,
I had a routine where I was driving up to Auckland to my practice for 2 days a week, you know, and I was really enjoying it. I really like to go somewhere different, create new connections with different groups of people, and you know, create a new patient base and things. I was enjoying it, but when I didn't have to go up, or when I couldn't go up, I had to stay at home. I was like, actually, wow, it's more tiring than I thought.
Yeah.
And then there's the other things that have happened, you know, with the death. It would be a death category, I guess, is what do you actually stand for?
That's what
people were suddenly realizing. That was a death of how we were.
Yeah.
Not that I'm interested whatsoever in this being a new norm, because I think there's a whole different podcast on agenda shit that we ain't gonna go into on this one. I don't think we should go there, but on this one, but yeah, the awareness that things have changed, or you know, and there's a, you know, you've got to start making new choices. That's a death process.
When the death cycle is happening and you're having to let go of things and things are being taken away from you, or you just can't do things anymore, you actually start to work out what really matters. And you kind of get more to the goal, the truth, the, you know, and this part of us that's been conditioned to keep producing and driving and pushing through and forcing and trying, or you know, improving. Even the self-development field is fueled with it. It's like, I've got to improve myself.
I've got to get another book.
And you know, we don't watch it. We get just as addicted to growth in that area of our lives as well. And actually, there's so much medicine in, like you said, like stopping, allowing yourself even to fall apart, and to trust that what emerges from that is really what deeply matters to you and what's important and what's actually healthy for you.
Very, very scary to stop and fall apart, though.
Very scary.
Really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And some people are only holding it together because they're worried about that pain of falling apart.
Mm. Totally. And who's going to, you know, a lot of people don't have someone that can come in and support them or look after them. And so then it pushes on that really vulnerable part of us that needs to reach out and ask for support or needs to try and find ways to be supported.
I went through a little phase just recently, a few years ago, where I felt like a little frayed piece of rope. And when someone said, "Who are you now?" And I just, in that moment, I had that clarity. It's like, I don't flipping know who I am right now. I went to the beach and bawled my eyes out and just, actually David Bowie came to me. And I thought, man, he is the master of reinvention. I can be whoever I want now. I just had to let go of the old me and start being whoever I wanted.
Yeah.
And so that little piece of rope started to regather itself, and I decided who I wanted to be at that moment. And it was traumatic and painful. And it took more than a few weeks.
Sprung to mind there when you said that for me was what we discussed last time when you brought up the gratitude diary. You know, that when you're in that place, what I've noticed, when you're in that place, that's what definitely pulls you out of it, isn't it? The gratitude of the journey you've had so far, and the fact that this for me was this body got me through so much, man, and this mind grew even stronger, and an awareness that actually your mind runs your body, not your body runs your mind. And you know, absolutely. And what I noticed with this sudden change for me was the amount of grief that I was holding on to, grieving process. So you're too distracted, and you're pushing down. So that was just a specific emotion for me, right? This grief. So to be able to stop just take stock of where you are and what you stand for and what you're trying to achieve and where you're trying to go. Mm. And the emotional charge held in your system, which in a way holds you back because it pulls you down. So whatever it is, whether it's anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, guilt, regret, you know, love, sex, relationships, perverted, obsessive, compulsive points of view, they're all just distractions, right?
But why, my judgment is, why are we so scared of emotions? Why do we let them debilitate us? Like, why is it so scary to go into these really sort of dense and dark places? Like, if we're able to embrace them and actually allow ourselves to feel what we're feeling fully, not just a little bit, like the whole whatever's in there, when we come out the other side, it's like doing a detox, like of getting rid of all the, you know, the crap that's in us. And, come out the other side, it's like you're like a newborn again. And also you build your emotional resilience by doing that. And I do think it gets us, like, the emotional range has information in it for us, because often when we're experiencing these emotions, if we really allow it to come through and stop trying to push it away or down or make ourselves feel better in some way, there's information that comes with this about what deeply matters to us and what is important. And it's like the emotions can speak to us as well.
The emotion is a sign of weakness. So, that's the conditioning that we've had, you know, don't
show.
Showing certain emotions is a sign of weakness. And so weakness is, if there's a sign of weakness, you will make yourself wrong. And so we go into that, the wrongness of me or the wrongness of that. And so when we can let that go, because there's nothing wrong with us, then it has been, there will be. Then it's okay to start releasing. And not buying into the story either. That's a good one. A lot of the emotional reaction is buying into the story.
And so, looping with the story.
Absolutely. Because I call it, I say we're peptaholics. We're addicted to the emotional peptides that we release. And so people will say, why does this keep happening to me? Is it because you're addicted to it? You love it. And they go, I don't love it. You say, you do. You hate it, but you love to hate it. And I say, you know, if you go into an emotional reaction, and if you think about it, it does happen this way. You might have four really close friends, right? And something happens to you and you go into a massive reaction, you're going into the story. You know, I've got to tell someone. So you go through your list. So I'm not going to tell them because they're going, I'm going to phone them up. And you get the person on the phone, they go, yeah, I know. And they reinforce the story because they're getting a hit from it as well. Whereas if you find one of the other three that are going, get over it. You know, or they wouldn't go into get the same hit. And so we're looking for that perpetual hit all the time with the emotion.
It's normally when that there's a story that's created around the emotion that it starts to get sticky and toxic. Because, if you think of emotions like water, like if you keep the water in one place and you keep going over it and talking about it and blah blah blah, the water just becomes stagnant. But if you allow the energy to just move, just kind of yell and shout and scream and cry and open your arms up to God and ask them why, and you know, like if you actually let it all come through, it doesn't stay sticky in your system. And there's this beautiful quote that I learned once that's like, feelings are like fruit, they're best eaten fresh. So if you ever have an emotional thing and then like 2 or 3 days you're thinking about it again, it's like, nah, don't do that. That's not the fresh feeling. That's you sitting on it for a few days and it's gone old and stale, and you know, then you're talking about your peptide addiction stuff, and a part of us that wants to keep regurgitating it because there's a physiological thing in our body that's actually trying to call for those peptides, and we have to train the body to like other emotional peptides that we want to be.
And sometimes you don't know because you haven't experienced it. So you don't know what that peptide actually feels like until you create an experience that have an experience that creates it.
I think the language for the emotion is lacking too. There's a really cool diagram I often post about called Plutchik's Wheel. And Plutchik's Wheel. And it's very colourful, so it's nice to look at, but it will drill down to levels of emotion that, you know, sometimes you're not angry, but you might be frustrated or despondent or something like that. And if I had it in front of me, I could. It gives you extra labels, which really nails the emotion you're feeling. So people go, well, I'm not actually angry, but I don't know what I am. So it's cool.
Yeah.
So I'll add the link.
Plutchik.
Plutchik's Wheel. It's brilliant.
Cool. I'll look at that. That'd be awesome.
And it just gives us the language around it, because if you don't have language to attach, it makes it more difficult to know what you're experiencing.
And to share with others what you're going through, so that they can
even share with yourself.
So what's the wisdom, do you think, of being attuned to your own growth death cycle?
Well, I think, because what happens in the birth growth death cycle is it's kind of like a waxing and waning of energy, like the moon. So if we can allow ourselves to let go when it feels like the energy is waning, and not try and push through and force through, we can actually move with like this natural flow of life, and things become easier because you're not trying to push shit uphill all the time. You're not trying to push through. You're actually going with, you know, the way life is wanting to move through you. And it's not to say that there's not effort involved anymore, but it's not like an unhealthy effort. When the energy is waning, when things aren't working, when you just keep trying to force yourself to do something that's not actually real for you anymore. Or when
the story doesn't work for you anymore.
The story, but also, you know, the lack of vitality for it. Like there's some things that I used to do that I used to love, and I just can't do them anymore.
Right.
And there's some things, you know, there's just no energy available for it anymore. It's kind of gone.
I think that's what's happened just recently, is people recognizing that what they're doing, they just really don't want to do anymore.
No, and the thing is, rather, and it's, you know, it's definitely a process of death. It's not like you just die and then you can be reborn quickly. It's like, it doesn't happen like that, unfortunately.
It's not
like death, you know. It's like, and how long you cling on to what's not working anymore will make your death longer and more painful. And it does take a tremendous amount of courage, because, like, you know, death is scary. That's why we don't talk about it in our society. It's
so can you interchange the word death with change?
No, I want to use the word death because our society is phobic about death.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get rid of some podcast listeners here, but, like, you know, and it's not a popular topic because, you know, the death is scary to us because we don't understand it. We don't really, there's lots of theories around what actually happens, but really we don't actually know. You don't really find out until you die, do you?
No.
I mean, people have had near-death experiences, but rather than focusing on the physical death, I think, you know, if we as a culture learn to be more in tune with these birth, growth, death cycles and trust the natural process of the way things need to die to make space for what's new, then we wouldn't actually fear death so much either, because we would see death as rebirth.
It'd be a look forward, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, Earth, I mean, I'm a bit of a pagan, I must admit, but earth-based spirituality always associated death with white. It was never black. And actually birth was black, because it was to do with the soil and growth and the earth and the fertility of the land. So whereas now we've got it all back to front, you know, like everything spiritual is kind of like white and death is dark black, but actually it was the other way around.
Okay.
Earth-based spirituality, you know, that we knew that death was rebirth. It was a transition into something else.
Well, before the Romans took charge of Italy, the culture there was to decorate tombs. And if a person had been nice, they decorated sunny fields and blue skies and everything, and they made it look really pretty. And if the person had been an arsehole, then they painted it black. and they made horrible pictures on the wall and stuff like that. And they reckon that that's where the idea of heaven and hell came from, was, you know, for the church, was the way that those tombs were depicted.
Right.
And so they said, okay, if you're going to be good and you're going to be a nice person, you're going to go to that place there. And if you're going to be an arsehole, you're going to be down there.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's quite looking forward to seeing what's on the other side myself. I'm looking forward to it. It's not something that worries me.
I'm just looking forward, you're looking forward to a new game console, mate. Yeah. Check it
trade
out.
Trade in that one.
Yeah. This one's been good. He's a good boy. Yeah. He's been great.
I think, though, if we can't really face our death or the parts of us that are dying, then you can't really live. You don't actually get the full availability of life force in your life. It's like if there's something contracted around death or the death cycle, you're not actually fully living.
You're just in reaction the whole time, right?
Well, you just might not be living your authentic life. And there'll be something in you that is kind of constantly in conflict or constantly trying to improve or constantly trying to make things better or getting depressed. Yeah, losing vitality.
So how's this going to help the planet?
How's it going to help the planet? Well, I think the world's going through a massive death cycle at the moment, and there's many things that are having to stop and change and be reorientated, and, you know, businesses, flights, tourism, that whole lockdown period and the impact that had on many businesses. We haven't really seen the full extent of it yet, but in the way our society lives, like there's all sorts of things that are going to have to change for us to move through this, and we can't kind of like force and push through. We're actually going to have to let some things die. And you know, like one something that comes to me quite a lot when I meditate on it, it's like, what are you prepared to sacrifice? Like what are you okay with letting go of? Like what can you live without that isn't actually serving
that's
you
a big anymore? One absolutely
we've just become so addicted to
stuff, shit,
consuming, and you know, one of the big things I learned during lockdown is I don't actually need that much, I don't need all of this travel, really. I don't need all of this kind of going to the mall and getting things sometimes to make myself feel good.
Yeah. My daughter actually said that to me yesterday. She said, Mum, I need some stuff. I'm going straight to the op shop, because she said over the lockdown I realised that consumerism is not necessary for my life.
Yeah. I think it's all part of us being played.
And
to grow, you know, throw this away, get that. I look on the Facebook pages now if I want something new. Something new as in something different. You know, I've got some fantastic furniture from secondhand stores and that. Some of it's never been used. You know, it's brand new. Just sitting there, sitting in people's homes, and they never go in the room.
I feel that this change that we're going through certainly has made people reevaluate. Although I know in business that women were still feeling they needed their full makeup and that was important to them. So I think business for certain pharmacies was booming.
It was quite
the
funny.
The nail place.
When you saw people were locked down, they couldn't get out and do the grooming
the
and do the hair.
Get the hair done. Like,
oh, that's what you look like. Excellent.
The real you shining through.
We love you just the same.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think there are things that need to die, and we need to let them die, so that and it's like the thing with the birth, growth, death cycle is like you need to let it die for the new life to come. And if you don't let it die, the new life won't come. So like when we think about the future of our planet, when we think about these future generations, if we don't let some things die that we're doing, like, just think about what's to come.
Okay.
which It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting.
I think it's exciting,
I think it's jolly exciting. Yeah. The Aquarian age is coming in now. It's been coming in, well, since here, well, as far as I know, because dawning of the age of Aquarius. And now it's like suddenly it's gone boof, and here we are with planetary lineups, and I don't quite understand all that either, but lineups, eclipses, and it's just like suddenly we are right at that point of death and rebirth almost at the same time. And I'm finding it's jolly the
waking.
Exciting.
It's the waking, I think, that's the
conversations,
the rebirth
that people are having.
The waking up of humanity. Yep. The death cycle, I think, was it's kind of merged, hasn't it? You know, the death cycle is this COVID nonsense that's going on right around the world. That's a catalyst for that, but it's also a catalyst for instant rebirth, because to the extent that that's gone on, it's made people start paying attention more, and they've started to wake up. So and that they've started, like, it's a rebirthing. They've they've woken up and gone, hang on a minute.
Where's the truth here? We are still in the death cycle, though.
Yes.
And I think
we need
the death cycle for change to take place. And there is a waking up that's happening. But actually, we need to take responsibility as well. And that's going to be a process, because for so many of us, like, you know, I do go to op shops and I do. But, you know, I don't like thinking of these kids in factories in Vietnam that don't see the light of day, that are working to make stuff, and, you know, and I just it's like I haven't yet got my life exactly the way I'd like it to be, which would be in connection with my morals. And maybe we need a certain amount of disaster to help us to reorientate ourselves to something something that feels more
well. We need a catalyst
wholesome.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And sometimes the catalyst is a disaster of some description, whether it be a political disaster or a natural disaster.
Mm. Isn't that the meaning of crisis, opportunity, breakdown with opportunity or something? What's the meaning of that? Crisis?
Don't know.
Something like that. Some Greek breakdown of what crisis means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. It's always death with opportunity.
Yeah.
For me, in my background, I just have seen for many years how I was played as an individual. And used as an individual in the military, but then that was my choice, so you know, I don't have a problem with that. And also was a massive privilege, huge privilege, to be able to meet and work with the people that I did, because they are salt the earth guys that actually always hung their life on the line for whatever the cause was. For me, that isn't what I mean. I mean the people at the top that own all the factories that make all the weapons,
invisible level,
and make all the money from both sides, because they own both factories for both sides, and they supply both armies with all the stuff. And that's, you know, the perpetual state of unconsciousness that we kept in is divide and conquer. You know, she hates you, so you better watch out, because she's going to kill you. So you have a gun. Know that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are waking up to that as well, especially after the last 10, 15 years of what's been going on in the world, you know, with all the wars and things. I think people are tired of it, and that's what's
waking
them up. It's
not working, is it?
Hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Well, it's working for the people who own all the money.
It's
you
not
know, make all
the
weapons.
Majority.
No, it isn't. No, so, and that's why they're waking up. But yeah.
But I think, you know, the extent to which we resist change and we resist the death process is going to be the extent to which we suffer.
Yes.
So when these things happen, like COVID and being in lockdown, it's really important, I think, to whatever you learnt during that time, whatever you, when you were in that space that you thought, I'm going to change this, effing change it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep myself in that. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, that was... That, like, I take responsibility for these feelings that are coming up in me and what they're wanting me to do. And, you know, it's not always easy to enact it straight away. So there's also compassion that we need for each other and ourselves. Mm. But remember what that change was telling you.
Mm.
And when you can, act on it.
Mm.
Because... yeah, it does have an impact on other people and future generations, and it is here to teach us something, I think. And these
galactic planetary lineups are going to kick our ass if we don't listen and if we don't make the changes in our own lives in whatever way we can. And those of us who do consider ourselves as woke or whatever, like, no one's going to do it for us. Like, we have to actually stop and listen and feel and respond in a way that feels congruent and aligned. And
saying that, you know, exactly right. And it can actually affect you physically too, because what we look at is something either affects you. It's you taking, so you've had a shift and you've woken, or you've had a realization you need to change something. Okay, that in itself can release tension in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But if we hold on to that, it can create problems physically, because we create these dissipation pathways. So that's you yourself. So we ask the question, is it yours, someone else's, or something else? Okay, so if it's yours and you get that information, you can shift and change it. Whatever changes you make will help to release that tension. If it's someone else's, it's the projection that people have. So they're going through an issue, they're going through a awakening or a realization, but they're not dealing with it. They then project the trauma that they're going through. And we can pick up on that. So our bodies can pick up other people's projections of trauma.
Yeah.
And then we think there's something wrong with us. Because other people's projections can create intensities in our body.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I say to people is, you know, if you and I went out for lunch, can you digest the food that I've eaten? Can't. Right? It's in my body. My body has to digest that. So there's no point in trying to fix or trying to dissipate somebody else's projections. They have to work through that themselves. So that's another dynamic of being aware of what's going on around us and how other people's projections can affect us. And the last thing, which is around the planet here, is it yours, someone else's, or something else? Right? If it's something else, we've had a shift, but we haven't given it back to the earth. And so that's where, you know, your sort of point is, having awareness when we shift and when we change. Sometimes the shift in consciousness is to help the earth shift too, right? And if we hold on to that and don't give it back to the earth, that will create an intensity in its own right. Now, that doesn't happen very often with people and me, but sometimes it does come up. And so it's about reconnecting with the earth and allowing the earth to take the lesson from you that you've learned. So that you can move on, and so the earth can heal too, or raise the vibration of the earth, right?
You sure don't mean that at school, do we?
Nah. The interesting thing is, you know, the point of view, that they say, that we look at is, you know, apparently because we're projecting all the time, so we're projecting our interesting points of view, our belief systems and everything else. You can pick up someone else's projections from about a 300-meter radius of you. And so a lot of the intensities that people get in their bodies are not actually, they don't belong to them. But they think there's something wrong with them because it's creating I call intensity in their body. I try and get people to not use the word pain anymore. It's too charged. Yeah. So like you like using the word death. I like using the word intensity when it comes to that.
I like using the word death. At the moment, it's a bit of a theme in my life.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's important.
Because I'd love to share a little vulnerable part of...
Yeah.
Because I've been going through this big death journey, and it's been really challenging for me to not be in a place of knowing what it is I want to do next and knowing how I want to package myself up and put myself out in the world. And, you know, I had this money aside to do my website, and I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, yet what new formula is wanting to. And it's been really, really hard to not be productive and to sort of not feel like I have it all sussed. And, you know, it's Facebook, especially you look at Facebook and everyone selling this and that. And I'm like, oh God, you know, I'm going to fall away into the background and everyone's going to forget about me and I'm not being productive. And I had to face all of that stuff. But what is urging me on inside of me is this kind of voice that sounds like a crone, and it's just
you know, real, like a grandmother. It's like really patient. It's like, it's okay, you know.
It's coming.
Listen to, like, listen to yourself. Listen to your waking thoughts. Start feeling what wants to emerge. It will emerge when it, you know. It's, I'm starting to feel little shoots of things, and I'm quite excited about the length of time I've left, you know, to let this whole process happen. It's been going on for about 2 years inside of me, so.
It's creating space for you. When you create the space, then you it that creates clarity.
Yeah.
There's you're not in reaction. You're not as reactive as you were 2 years ago or in the moment.
Mm.
Because that's what we do. We go into reaction when you see someone says they're really successful on Facebook,
yes.
and do this course. This is fantastic.
Oh.
You know.
Oh my
and
God, you're like, I'm not enough.
That looks really good, doesn't it? You know. All right. How much does that cost? All right, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And so we drop into that reaction.
Yeah.
But I think it's just standing in your truth, following what's the truth for you, because that's always going to work for you, because that is your truth. No,
yeah, you know, but sometimes, you know, what I've been finding is as I'm sort of spiraling down into this, it's like I've actually, you know, I've done some amazing works in critical things. I've loved working internationally. I've loved doing all these one-on-one sessions. And like it feels like that is changing now.
Mm.
And even though as much as I've loved it, it's just not feeling right anymore. It's kind of the energy is waning for it. And,
yep.
You know, and what's scary is that, you know, we have our survival needs that are linked to this kind of thing.
Mm.
So
yes.
So obviously, like, if you're going through this kind of process, somebody out there, like, you do have to make sure that those are taken care of. So, like, it's like I've been doing work that's like kind of enough that I can survive. And then in the other times, I've just been in this beautiful question of what's next and being able to stay with uncertainty, being able to be in the not knowing and let myself rest and stopped having to be productive. Like, you know, farmers will tell you, if you keep planting a field all the time again and again and again and again and expecting growth from it, the soil will end up depleted.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of chronic fatigue. It's
adrenal
fatigue, it's thyroid imbalances, it's the way we're pushing ourselves and our bodies to keep producing and keep thriving and keep, you know, mainly because of our survival fears, I think.
Yeah.
That sounds very masculine driven again, and so you're stepping into your feminine by allowing that process to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And for some it might only take a couple of months, but if it takes you a couple of years, that's fine.
Mm.
It's being in the allowing, and more will come to you in the more allowance phase than if you were forcing it through, where you force yourself down the wrong track.
When you go down the wrong track, or you get an interesting point of view that that's pushed your buttons or put you into reaction, good question is, who does this belong to? Because you may have picked up a thought that's being projected from someone else, from 300-meter radius of you.
Yeah.
There isn't a really original thought out there. We don't know where they come from. We don't know where these interesting points of view come from. They've been floating around on this planet for we don't know how long, billions of years maybe, billions of years.
Mm.
So you get the thought. And that's why, you know, there's scientific evidence for it, the hive mind, you know.
Yeah.
And that. So these thoughts are floating around. So a lot of the time we get hit with a thought that can drop us, right? When you have the awareness that's coming, you go, okay, who does that belong to? Return to sender with consciousness attached.
Mm.
Just draw and uncreate it when it gets there, if you want to.
Mm.
Remember what we say, we create.
Mm.
Mm.
So it's just that brings a little bit more awareness to where the dip cycle, you know, the dips that we can get in our emotions and our thoughts and our processes and what holds us back. Two steps forward, one step back, that kind of thing.
Mm.
What really helps me, and it's such a simple practice, is I work a lot with my nervous system and find ways to self-regulate. And I know if I'm getting stressed about something or if I feel overwhelmed about something, I just have like these somatic resource tools that, you know, something as simple as putting your hand on your heart and on your belly and taking a breath like, Mm-hmm. And like keep doing that until like it actually, like, just that's so simple, but like amazing how a few of those you feel good again.
It's really powerful, actually. It's really powerful because one of the reasons I think is the palms and the hands are heart chakras as well, so they're extension of the actual heart chakra, and the tip of the tongue is a heart chakra as well. That's why kissing so powerful. But the hands, in those positions over your heart.
And the breath, like that sound at the back of the throat, actually vibrates the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve is what's responsible for sensing and feeling if we're in any threat or danger. So when the vagus nerve is kind of vibrated and stimulated and you release whatever tension's in it, then it can go back into that restful state again, and the body calms down again.
As well as controlling your diaphragm so that it is slowing down, because your diaphragm is infiltrated by the nerve as well.
And opening up the acute emotional release mechanism, which is your lungs. So
your lots of good reasons for that.
Yeah, up through here. So that's the any time we scream, shout, cry, talk, sigh, cough, sneeze, whatever, there's going to be an emotional component in the exhalation of that. And so if you really focus on the breath and let's add emotional charges as well.
Is it lion breath in yoga?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You do lion breath, you have to stick your tongue out and go ha.
The yoga
position thing.
Have you ever tried laughter yoga?
Yeah,
I found it really difficult.
Did you? I've never tried.
Completely silly, but a lot of people love it.
Yeah, I thought I'd give it a go sometime.
I should give it a go, but and perhaps go more than once, because I just went once.
Okay.
But I think the other thing I really want to emphasize, and don't know whether it would resonate for people out there, but like is to recognize how well you can stay with uncertainty and not knowing, because if you aren't able to stay with that, then what can happen is we just do something just because we need to do something, and then you might not really be accurate with what it is seeking to live through you. And basically, you know, there's nobody else that can be us, like there's no one else that can be you, and if you don't live you, that's such a terrible loss, because it's like this, we're given this great opportunity to be these unique individuals, and I think life's journey is about getting in touch with that and your unique expression in the world. And I think the world would be a much better place if we all kind of like tried to make an effort to get in touch with that.
Stop waiting to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And stop trying to always find the right answer.
Yeah.
Because that's our conditioning, right?
It's hard if you don't know that you're doing that, though.
I know. Well, it's conditioning.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to go, it's default.
I'm doing fine.
Yeah. That's why I like to say stand in your truth, because your truth's unique to you. My truth isn't the same as yours, but you know, for this body console, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then we always second guess: am I doing it right? You know, is this the right way of doing it?
Am I in the zone? Am I in the flow? Am I seeing 11:11 on my phone? Am I on track?
Wow. That's awesome. Thanks so much for
coming.
Thank
you, Ellie.
It's really cool
to chat to you both.
So,
we could talk for hours. You have to shut me up too. Sometimes.
We'll get you back. We'll get you back. Definitely. So, thanks so much for coming, Eddie Wild. And again, Paul Ralph, it's been awesome chatting
with you. Thank you, John Swanepoel, for coming along.
Cool.
All right.
So, here we go. The information, some of the stuff that we've talked about will be underneath in the section describing the video, the podcast, as I say. Maybe that was a slip. Maybe we should be videoing it too with subtitles. Apparently that's pretty good.
All right.
And so we'll be back next week, hopefully. Thanks for listening, guys.
you've been listening to Limitless Mind, Limitless Body, the Understanding You series, episode 5. I'm John Swanepoel. If you'd like to find out more about our guest today, Ellie Wild, follow the links below in the About This Podcast section. If you'd like to read her book, it's called Secrets of the Sex Shamans. The link is below. If you'd like to leave a voice message or a question for Ellie, Paula, or myself, follow the link below in the About This Podcast section. Thanks for listening.